My name is Gerwin Koopmans. I work as a postdoc at Wageningen University at the Soil Science Department. And today I would like to talk about the influence of EDDF on metal speciation in soil extracts, measurement and modeling. I will start with some background information, then I will shortly introduce the Donner membrane technique, which I have used in my work. I will briefly discuss the models that I have used. We'll give some experimental details. Then I will come up with the model validation, which is a comparison of model predictions with DMT measurements. And I will end my talk with a summary. Okay, phytoextraction, as you all know, is the use of plants to remove heavy metals from soil. Well, important processes for phytoextraction are desorption of metals from the soil solid phase to soil solution, the movement of metals through the soil solution to the surface of plant roots, root uptake of metals, and finally translocation of metals from the roots to the shoots. However, concentrations of heavy metals in soil solution are often very low, at least under natural conditions, and this may result in very long periods of phytoextraction. Well, in order to speed up the process of phytoextraction, some researchers have suggested to use synthetic chelants in order to enhance the mobilization of metals. And for this purpose, EDTA has been suggested. However, EDTA is highly persistent in the environment. If you apply EDTA to a soil, it has a risk that there will be metal EDTA leaching to ground and surface waters. But as an alternative to EDTA, EDDS has been suggested. EDDS is a structural isomer of EDTA. The SS isomer of EDDS is readily biodegradable in soil, so after application it will disappear within a short period of time, which decreases the risk of heavy metal leaching. And it has a high affinity to complex metals. However, the influence of EDDS, once you have applied it to a soil, on the speciation of metals in soil solution is largely unknown. And this is what my work is about. Okay, metal dynamics in EDDS treated soils. Metals in a soil solid phase can be bound by clay minerals, they can be bound by metal oxides, or by soil organic matter. Free metals in soil solution can react with dissolved organic matter, or they can react and form complexes with EDDS, but they can also react with inorganic ligands. Free metals can be taken up by microorganisms, by soil fauna, or by plant roots. So heavy metal speciation in soil and in soil solution is very important with respect to the fate of metals in soil. So it is very important to have information about the concentration of free metals in soil solution. You can either measure them by chemical analysis, or you can modeling, or you can predict them by using mechanistic models. Determination of free metals using chemical analysis is difficult and often laborious, and models are preferred. But however, before you can apply models, you need to validate them. So in the end, you have to do both. The Donner membrane technique, the DMT, is a technique which has been developed at Wageningen University. It has been applied to measure free metal concentrations in synthetic multi-component solutions, in soil solution, and in surface water. And here you see a schematic representation of the DMT cell. It consists of a donor part and of an acceptor part. And these two parts are separated by a negatively charged cation exchange membrane. The donor side contains the solution which you are interested in which you want to measure the free metal concentrations. So the donor solution is continuously pumped across this part. And the acceptor part contains an electrolyte solution with the same salt level as in the donor. Free metals can be transported across the membrane until equilibrium is reached, and you can take samples from the acceptor part of the DMT cell, and you can measure the metal concentrations in the acceptor samples by ICP. This is a picture of what a DMT cell looks like in reality. Okay, the models. Speciation of metals in salt solution is a sum of free metals, inorganic metal complexes, metals associated with EDDS, and metals associated with either fulvic or humic acids. Using a chemical speciation program, ECOSAT, and the Nicodonum model, it is possible to model the speciation of metals in salt solution. So, as I said, ECOSAT is a chemical speciation program, and it can be used to calculate metal complexes with inorganic ligands and with EDDS. I've also used a Nicodonum model, and Nicodonum stands for the non-ideal competitive adsorption Donnan model. And that model can be used to calculate metal complexes with fulvic and humic acids. The Nicodonum model is ion-specific. It calculates competition between protons and multiple metals in the same run. It accounts for binding site heterogeneity. It accounts for variable stoichiometry. And it accounts for electrostatic effects. So in my work, I've used a combination of ECOSAT and Nicodonum to predict the free metal concentrations. Okay, some experimental details. We performed some batch extraction experiments. We made salt suspensions and had a control and an EDDS treatment. We used a shaking time of 24 hours and we used centrifugation to separate the solution from the salt solid phase. The centrifugates were used in the DMT experiments and the centrifugates functioned as the donor solution. We measured pH and total metal concentrations in the acceptor and in the donor samples. And also we measured EDDS and DOM concentrations in the donor samples. This is a picture of what the experimental setup of my DMT experiments looked like. Here on the left, you see the tubes which contain the acceptor solution. And here on the right, you see the flasks which contain the donor solution, which are the centrifugates from the batch experiments. Here you see two pumps. And these two pumps pump the acceptor solution and the donor solution across the DMT cells. I've used four different soils in my work. A soil from Bulgaria, a soil from the Netherlands, from Denmark and from China. The soils had a very broad range in pH. pH varied between 4.7 and 7.2. Soil organic matter varied between 3.0 and 7.1, and clay between 2% and 30%. And we also had a very broad range in total copper and total zinc contents. The model validation. Here I compare model predictions obtained by ECOSAT and the Nicodonum model with the measured free cadmium, copper, nickel, lead and zinc concentrations. And this was done by using the DMT method. For the models, I've used the following input parameters. The measured pH and total metal EDDS and DOM concentrations in the donor solution. The stability constants of metal EDDS complexes, which can be found in literature. And generic Nicodonum parameters for metal binding with fulvic and humic acids. So the models that I've used are completely independent. I've had to use one assumption on the composition of DOC, of DOM. I have assumed that DOM is composed of 30% fulvic acids, 30% humic acids, and 40% inert material. So here are the results for the Wildekamp and for the Hichem soil. On the x-axis, you will find the measured free metal concentration, and on the y-axis, you will find the predicted free metal concentration. The metal concentrations are expressed as a negative logarithm of the molar concentration. Thus, it means the higher the number, the lower the concentration. Also, the filled symbols represent the EDDS treatments, and the open symbols represent the control treatments. So if you first look at the results for the control treatments, we see that the agreement between predicted and measured values was very nice. However, if you look to the results for the EDDS treatments, you see that the zinc, copper and nickel concentrations are underestimated. However, these model calculations were performed without input of aluminum and iron in the model calculations. This was done while we knew that extraction of aluminum and iron by EDDS was important. So without aluminum and iron, binding of copper, nickel and zinc to EDDS was overestimated, and as a consequence, free copper, nickel and zinc concentrations were underestimated. So apparently, competition between aluminum and iron and the other metals for binding onto the EDDS was very important. So aluminum and iron binding to EDDS was important, and we have to include aluminum and iron somehow in our model calculations. For doing so, we used the solubility of gibbsite and amorphous iron hydroxide in our model calculations, and we performed again a model validation. So we again tried to predict the free cadmium, copper, nickel, lead and zinc concentrations using these two metal oxides, gibbsite and free gibbsite and amorphous iron hydroxide. So here you see again the results of the Wildekamp and of the Hichem soil, the same soils as that I showed previously. And this time you see that the predictions for all metals, cadmium, copper, nickel and zinc, for both the control and the EDDS treatments, fall very nicely close to the one-to-one line. So now we were able to get good predictions of the free metal concentrations. Also, very interesting effect, is that the free copper concentrations in the control treatments were much higher than those in the EDDS treatments. Not only for the Wildekamp soil, but also for the Hichem soil. Not only for copper, but also for nickel. And that's a very interesting effect. For the Slatica and for the Zhejiang soils, the two other soils, we also obtained very nice predictions. And also here, we see that free copper concentrations in the control extracts are much higher than those in the EDDS-treated extracts. Not only for copper, but also for nickel. I have not showed you the data from the batch experiments, but EDDS, the addition of EDDS, caused a large increase of the total copper and nickel concentrations. But as I have showed you, EDDS decreased the free copper and nickel concentrations. So on the one hand, you have an increase in total concentrations, but you have a decrease in free metal concentrations. So not only the soil solid phase, but also EDDS seems to control the free copper and nickel concentrations. Okay, so I have used gibbsite and amorphous iron hydroxide in my model calculations. It was an assumption, but is this a reasonable assumption? So, in the next slide, I will show some results on the comparison of metal oxide solubilities with measured free aluminum and iron concentrations. On the left, you see the figure for gibbsite, and on the right, you see the figure for amorphous iron hydroxide. For aluminum, for gibbsite, we found a very nice agreement between gibbsite solubility and the measured free aluminum concentration. The range in measured free aluminum concentrations is about 8 orders of magnitude, and this can be explained by pH. The pH was lowest for the Slatica soil, and the Slatica soil had the highest free aluminum concentration. But pH was highest for the Zhejiang soil, and this soil had the lowest free aluminum concentrations. Solubility of aluminum oxide becomes lower at higher pH. If you look at the data for iron, we see that for the Slatica soil, for the Wildekamp soil and for the Hichem soil, we find a very nice agreement between predicted values and between measured values. However, for the Zhejiang soil, we measure more iron than is being predicted from the solubility of amorphous iron hydroxide. However, this may be due to laboratory contamination, because we are really measuring at an extremely low level here. Okay, the summary of the results that I've obtained. The DMT can be used to measure free metal concentrations in soil extracts which contain EDDS and dissolved organic matter. Ecosat and Nikadonen accurately predicted the free metal concentrations. However, we had to use a multi-component approach, and with multi-component I mean that we had to include aluminum and iron, and we did so by including the two metal oxides, gibbsite and amorphous iron hydroxide, in our model calculations. One week ago I just received a message that the paper which contains these results was accepted by Environmental Science and Technology. So if you're interested in it, you can read all about it. Thanks for your attention.
Questions for Dr. Kuttman?
I have a question. You made an assumption that the composition of DOC was 80% sulfuric acid, 30% butyric acid, and 40% oil.
Yeah, exactly. It's based on literature. If you look into the literature, this is often these ratios are being found. And also, one of my colleagues has also done a lot of modeling work on salt solution chemistry, and she also used this type of ratios. So it is a quite common assumption that's being made in literature. But of course, you could think, I mean, we had a broad range in pH, and you could think, okay, the fraction of humic acids might decrease with an increase in pH. So, so in fact, you should measure it. However, measurement of the DOM composition is quite difficult. So, that's why we have used an assumption.
Thank you.
Okay.